1 Corinthians, it's chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. I invite you to read along with me. It's probably a familiar text to you. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would this hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would no sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, and there may be no dissension within the body. But the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. So I spent some time this week thinking about what I want to say in these last Sunday mornings. Some clergy friends have joked with me, this is my time to really let you have it. You know, what can they do to you now? Truth is, in almost 11 years, there's really not much I haven't already said to you. No pressing matters I've been just dying to say and haven't thought I could say. I've tried to speak as honestly about God, about what I know about God and don't know about God, as I can. So what I'd like to do is talk, I think, a little bit about what I see as this church's particular gifts as a congregation. Churches have gifts, I think. And the great thing about church and community is that you may see it differently than I do. Some of you may be worshiping here over 90 years, and some of you are here for the very first time today. We have different perspectives, but I wanted to lift up to you a little of how I see it and then hopefully offer a challenging word at the same time. And if I'm going to talk about the church and the church's gifts, I had to use the voice of the Apostle Paul, the greatest church evangelist of all time. Last Sunday, I reminded you of Paul about his past as a Christian hater, his past as somebody who tried to persecute Christians, did persecute Christians. Remember how he held everyone's coats while they stoned Stephen to death. He was there for that. Jesus, we know, would change Paul's life. He changed his life and had a passion for ministry like no other. And I suppose I wanted to make sure you heard his words these days. Paul begins to talk about the church and gives us an image that we're still talking about today. He talks about the body of Christ. For just as the body is one, there are many members, and all the members of the body, though many, one body, and so it is with Christ. And then he goes on to talk about the human body and our organs. Because I'm not a hand, you can't say I do not belong to the body. That would make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would hearing be? And he goes on to say, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Paul is using this human body as a metaphor for the church. Different parts, different roles, different uses, but still belonging, still vital, still necessary, still a part of the whole. And this, I happen to think, is one of your gifts. It's one of the things you do pretty well. And I think We should be proud of this, that not only are all people welcome here, but that we can even dare to disagree with one another. We can vote for different candidates. We can debate about the nature of God and faith and Christ and the Trinity, or even, dare I say, be an Alabama fan and still find welcome in this community of faith. That's right, I said it. I see some people looking around at other people here. Wow. The rest is details. The rest is details. It is Christ's love that unites us. And beyond that, if we really believe that Christ's love conquers all on Easter Sunday, then the rest is details. And so you recognize, I think, that people have unique gifts and perspectives and opinions to share and to be, and that you can even disagree with the minister here, even your minister, and you still belong. And for those of you who've been here a while, you might be thinking, well, duh, I mean, that's church. I've never agreed with any pastor we've had, you know, but you don't realize, perhaps, how many people sitting in pews around our country today do not have that. They don't have that. You know, actually, not too long ago, I was at a community event in Roan County, and someone who is an active member of another church who knows me fairly well sort of made a beeline for me and wanted to have this theological discussion with me. I think he'd sort of always been wanting to have somebody to talk about this with. And what he wanted to talk about was women in ministry. Surprise. And so we were talking, and what he shared with me is that he grew up in a church where he had a woman pastor who was very formative in his life, and he said, she shaped my life and made me the Christian I am today. And he goes, but now I'm in a different church that he loves very much, except they do not recognize the gifts or leadership of women. And he said, and it bothers me that we don't see women, that we don't affirm women. And we were just sort of talking about it. He's a guy, he's done his research, he'd read. We were talking about women in Scripture. We were talking about women in the early church, about Phoebe and Priscilla and Chloe, these women that were doing things in ministry. And we started talking about how you read Scripture and how you discern if something's culturally relative to the past, like slavery. Slavery is mentioned time and time again in Scripture, and we do not see that as relative to today and our time and place and culture. And so we started discerning that, talking about it, just having a really great conversation about it. And I said, have you talked to your minister about this? And he said, no, I don't think it'd be received well. And I knew what he was really saying is that he would not be received well, because in his community, it's not okay to have an opinion that is even different from what the minister is preaching from the pulpit on Sunday morning. The Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, has always been a movement for unity. We say today, a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world. The Christian church was always a movement for Christian unity, always understanding that what unites us is Jesus, not creeds or dogmas or what way you were baptized in a certain church or how you come dressed to church. What unites us is Jesus, no strings attached. And, you know, the thing is, these days, I've been here long enough that people know me in the community and where I serve and what congregation I serve. And I would say that in recent years, when I would say I'm the minister at First Christian Church in Rockwood, I get two things. It's usually the church with the pumpkins, or it's a smile, it's an affirmation, because they know about us. You're the church that welcomes everybody. You're the church that does a lot of things for the community. They know us. And that's because we have, over the years, understood what it means to be the body of Christ in the world. Now, I'm not saying you're perfect. Don't get the big head here with me today. We got a lot of work to do. We certainly have a lot of learning when it comes to truly understand what it means to be a diverse congregation. But as a church, I think you get it. When you say that we are the body of Christ, that it takes all of us, to be Christ in the world. And maybe it helps that every Sunday we have a reminder in the form of this meal where we don't have any strings attached to it. The body of Christ broken for you. We don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've been. It's for you. It's for you, and we give it out. Anybody and everybody who wants it. And here's what the body of Christ has looked like over the years. You know, not every community has young faces standing up to be installed as leaders or speaking as worship leaders. How many churches in our community would have hired a 28-year-old single woman to be their pastor? You know, I remember when I was beginning my process in to search for a congregation, you fill out these papers that are called search and call papers. And it's a profile of sorts for ministers. And I had checked the box that I wanted to be a solo minister or a senior minister. And I was talking to a seasoned minister in my clergy group about it. And he said, you know, have you thought about, you know, checking the box saying you'd be a youth minister, you really like kids like you, or a Christian education minister or associate minister. You'd probably have more opportunities that way. And he was right. But I didn't take his advice because I felt called to preach. And I was hopeful that there would be a congregation that would affirm those gifts and recognize that too. Whenever I'm at a community meeting and some event for the greater community is happening, this is true. Just about everybody looks down at me at a table because they know they can count on First Christian Church. They know they can because you have been generous with your time and your space and willingness to support community efforts. When the Boy Scouts were told their church would no longer recognize them as sponsors, it was First Christian Church that said, come on over here. You're welcome here. You know, when Family Promise, a new ministry to homeless families, a big, huge endeavor in our community, and it's new, and they needed churches willing to support it. First Christian Church was one of the first 13 congregations. How many churches do you think are in Roane County? I don't know, but it's a lot. A lot. You know, we could throw a stone and hit three churches right about now. But First Christian Church, out of the county, was one of the ones that said, count on us. We'll give it a go. Let's try this. When the Red Cross said, we need a space to designate in Rockwood as an emergency shelter, First Christian Church said, use our building, use our land, use our space. All because this is how we see what the body of Christ is supposed to be and do. That's what it's supposed to be about. We are the body of Christ, which means each of us belong. Each of us has a role to play. Each of our diverse gifts are united in one thing, and that's Jesus's love. And I think knowing that, believing that, can give us courage to try new and different ways of being the church in the world, pumpkins included. You know, Paul uses this beautiful metaphor for the human body. It's really a pretty beautiful metaphor for pre-scientific days to talk about our organs and how they function as part of the whole, how there is unity in our diversity. And it's a beautiful image. So here's my version. Mr. Potato Head is no fun to play with when you just have some eyes and an ear. It's not. I actually found a Mr. Potato Head in our toy box, and all we had was one arm and some eyes, and that was it. Everything else was lost to the hinterlands, and it's no fun. It's no fun. Things get exciting when you've got the bows and the different eyes and the glasses and the lips. You know, that's when things get going. That's when it gets excited, and the church needs you. You are part of what makes it fun to be the body of Christ, to offer whatever you can in whatever way you have to serve. When Paul was writing his letter to the church in Corinthians, he knew all too well what people were still saying about him, that people loved to bring up his past to him, that he'd once persecuted Christians. They said that he wasn't really a great public speaker. They say that Paul might have had a stutter, that he wasn't such a great speaker. But Paul knew that God does not call the perfect. God calls the willing. Not the perfect, but the willing. And Paul knew that the ministry of Jesus Christ was worth doing. He believed it in the fiber of his bones. He dedicated his life to it. He even lost his life for the cause. But he always believed that the ministry of Jesus Christ was worth it. And I still do too. I do. Do you? Amen.